Okay.
We're gonna have to move because we can't see you.
Yes, come around this way. Sorry.
Are you wanting to move side?
I'll sit over here.
All right, so we're back to Tanya. We're starting Perek Chaf Dalet, 24th chapter.
24?
Chapter 24, yeah. It's on page 58 in these red ones. Sure?
I'll just listen.
No problem. So we... Oh, yeah, okay. All right. So you remember that we started a long time ago, it was chapter 19, I think it was, or 18, whatever, where we said it's a section that goes all the way to chapter 25. Basically, the idea was that we explain, I'm just going to give a quick synopsis, right? We explained that every yid can reach, because he spoke about how one reaches the Beinoni journey, and of course it's through love of Hashem, but the problem is not everyone is capable of love of Hashem in a full-blown emotional sense, and even not everyone is even capable in a Avas Hashem, a love of Hashem in a full-blown intellectual sense. But what everyone can do is connect with the Abba Mesuteris, the hidden love. And he says the hidden love is something we all have as an inheritance from Avraham Avinu, and it's the point of Mesiras Nefesh, and basically, he explained that the Avo Mesuteris, the hidden love, is what a Yid accesses when he's faced with a challenge of Mesiras Nefesh, of Avodah Zarah. Right? So if someone would be challenged to serve Avodah Zarah, unless the Pintal Yid is so buried, but he calls it the Chochmah of the Nefesh, right? A person that will come out and he will give up his life. Then he went on to explain, that's true with Avodah Zarah, but how about all the rest of the mitzvahs? So his basic idea was to explain how everything is Avodah Zarah, or not Avodah Zarah, right? And this is what he went on. So first he spent two chapters, 20 and 21, to talk about the idea of Achdus Hashem, everything is really Hashem, everything is bottled to Hashem, right? And he did it in different ways, 20 and 21. Everything is really part of Hashem's existence. It's just not apparent to us that Hashem is hidden from us, but really it's what it is, and it's like... And ultimately in chapter 21, he said that the world is so one with Hashem that it's like... It's like the sun, which the rays of the sun, which are in the sun. Remember that? Which are still haven't come out. Just, it's like one entity with the sun. So to the world is one entity with Hashem. But Hashem hid that, and that's the power of Tzimtzum, where Hashem allows us not to see that, and therefore we don't realize it. Then he went on to explain in Parag 23, in 22, 23, how therefore everything that is connected to everything that is Klippa is really not real life and not part of the true existence. Everything of Kedusha is different, and he started talking about the idea of mitzvahs, Torah and mitzvahs, right? So last parak he said that through Torah and mitzvahs, that's how you connect with Hashem. When a person learns Torah and even keeps mitzvahs in a bit of a different level, Torah is mamasha, complete oneness, mitzvahs is also, mitzvahs like the limbs of the king, in other words, that it's an extension of Hashem, and you keep a mitzvah, you become connected to Hashem. And that is the way we connect to the true existence of who we are, by being part of Hashem's existence and not being part of the world of Klippa, and emptiness, and ultimately death, and so on. Okay, so that's Perek Chaf Gimel. Now he starts Perek Chaf Dalet, 24th Perek. It's a little sharp. Surgeon's warning it. right? Because he says the opposite is also true. Let's have a look. He says, no, basically what he's going to explain, that just like when a person engages in Torah and mitzvahs, that creates a oneness with Hashem, so too, when he engages with something opposite of Torah mitzvahs, like doing Averis, whatever the case is, that becomes, it comes separate from Hashem, right? So he says, "Zel u'mazeh," he quotes a pasuk, "Zel u'mazeh." "Zel u'mazeh" means this on the one side corresponds to something on the outside, on the other side, which means that everything that is true in Kedusha, the opposite is true in Klippa, which is, which refers to the 365 negative commandments, the oraisa, which are biblical, the holy surei derabbanan, and all prohibitions that are rabbinic, the person engages in them, achar shehein neged ritzoinoi, shall because they are the opposite of the will of Hashem. Chochmasa is Baruch, and his wisdom, they are fochon mamish, and they are the complete opposite. Therefore, heim nifrodim miyichudoi v'achdusa yizbarach. Therefore, they become separate. They are separate. They are detached from the oneness and the uniqueness of Hashem. But tachlis apirud mamash, with an ultimate disconnection. Kamoya sitra achra, right? The world of sitra achra, v'aklipa, right? Sitra achra is also separate from Hashem. Sitra achra is the existence that Hashem made. The forces of impurity, the forces of klipa, the forces of concealment, they are separate, they are disconnected from the oneness of Hashem, right? And hanikra avodah zarah, they're called avodah zarah, right? V'lakim acher, they're called other gods, right? Machbas hester ponim, because of the concealment, shol rotzon ha'elyon baruch hu b'kanal, because of the concealment of the will of Hashem. Explain, the will of Hashem is Hashem himself. That's what the will of Hashem is. A person's will is the expression of them. The Ratzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem is where Hashem is not hidden. So therefore, when you engage in the Ratzon of Hashem, when you engage in the will of Hashem, you are really engaging with Hashem himself. Whereas if you go in against the Ratzon of Hashem, then you're disconnected from Hashem. You're engaging with the will that is not connected with the oneness of Hashem. And you are like the klipa, you're connecting with the world of klipa, which is considered here the world of Avodah Zarah, because everything that's not part of Hashem is really part of Avodah Zarah. It's right. It might not be idol worship, but it's still Avodah Zarah. Yeah. Now he says more than that. He says, not only is the Avodah itself the world of Klippa, but just like he said with mitzvahs, right? When before we learned that a person does mitzvahs, they are connected to something which is one with Hashem. But not only the mitzvah itself, but he talked about before the ability to do the mitzvah, the power that we have within ourselves, whether it's machshava, dibur, speech, action, the chayis, the life force that engaged in Torah and mitzvahs also becomes completely one with Hashem. Becomes one with the mitzvah, because it's facilitating the mitzvah. So the truth is also an opposite, right? That, let's see, he continues to say now, v'chein gimel levushei nefesh, not only the aver itself, but the three garments of the soul, Shebeklipas noiga beYisrael, that belongs in a yid to the klipas noiga. It was before it does an avera. It belongs to the klipas noiga. Shehei machshava dibur ma'aseh. That's the thought, the speech, and the action. Hamalu boshes belevusha, which is in. Sorry, hamalu boshes beshasa loisa seido raisa drabonon. Yeah. In other words, what's the tools that we have to express ourselves? Thought, speech, and action. So when we use thoughts and speech and action to do an avera, we are using the expression, our garments, to be connected to the world of klipa. And not only that, and therefore by extension, v'chein mehusa nefesh atzmo, and even the neshama itself, right? The life force of the person himself, which is being expressed in the machshava dibur ma'isa, ulevashir, kulam miyuchadim mamash, they're all one, b'sitra achra zu, the sitra achra ve klipa zu, the sitra achra and the klipa, hanikra avodah zarah. Right? Now, why do we call it avodah zarah? Just to explain, right? We don't mind mamash, the power of klipa is not necessarily avodah zarah, as we'll soon see. It's not idol worship. You can't compare serving an idol to doing something that Hashem doesn't want us to do, right? It's a different kind of mitzvah. But nevertheless, it's in a subtle way avodah zarah, because the idea is that when you engage in something which is negative, complete opposite to the Ratzon of Hashem, right? So you're distancing yourself from the oneness of Hashem, right? And anything that is not the oneness of Hashem, exists outside the oneness of Hashem, is the opposite of bittul. You're only really connected to Hashem if you're completely bottled to Hashem, completely one with Hashem, completely given over to Hashem, surrendered to Hashem. As soon as you do something opposite to the oneness of Hashem, so subtly, that's avodah zarah. It's an idol worship subtly way, because you're doing something that is not part of Hashem's oneness. The whole idea of avodah zarah is not just you shouldn't only serve an idol, you shouldn't believe anything outside the reality of the oneness of Hashem. So as soon as you do something that is not bottled to Hashem, like something that's the opposite of Hashem's rotzen or the klipa, whatever the case is, that is avodah zarah. And therefore, that's the concept of klipa, because anything that is outside the oneness of Hashem is called avodah zarah. Now something amazing, he says. So just a bit of an introduction here. The forces of Klippa that Hashem created, right? They're a divinely created entity. But Hashem created a world with the forces of Klippa, correct? In other words, every entity of Klippa in the world, he's going to give an example. For example, he's going to give an example of Bilam, right? Bilam was a non-Jewish prophet. Hashem created Bilam, and Bilam was arrogant, and he was not surrendered to Hashem completely. He was no Bittul, but he had a role to play. He was a divinely created being that Hashem used to create the forces of Klippa in the world, right? I'm not necessarily talking about Bilam's personality as a person, but I'm talking about the life force of Bilam, the energy of Bilam, right? Was the idea of Klippa. Now we know the Gemara says about Klippa that Klippa is an entity which doesn't necessarily deny Hashem's existence. Right? There's a lashon, there's an expression in the Gemara that Klippa is korolo elokol delakaya. They know Hashem exists. Because don't forget, they are divinely created beings from Hashem. They are kept alive in a very diluted form through tzimtzum, an unbelievable tzimtzum. But they are kept alive by Hashem's force, Hashem's chayes, right? But they're separate entities, so because the life force, the energy of Hashem is so diluted in them, therefore they feel themselves to be something separate. They have some sort of control. And therefore they're called Klippa, but they still recognize the existence of Hashem. And like the Gemara says, they call Hashem Elokod de Lakaya, the God of gods. Like, I'm also a God, but this is the God of gods. Okay, fine. Right? But it's Klippa. It's Klippa because they see themselves as an entity which is separate to Hashem. And their mission is to convince a person to engage with them, right? But that, by the way, is not against the Ratzon of Hashem, you have to understand, right? So the Klippa is doing what it's supposed to be doing. But nevertheless, it's considered a very desire. He says like this. This is tough. He says, "V'loyoy." Not only when a person doesn't have various connected with Klippa, "Ela shebetelim utfelim alea." They become secondary, given over to the Klippa, surrendered to the Klippa. "Ugruim upchusim imeno b'oid." They're inferior to the Klippa. Yeah. Not only when a person doesn't have various, he's connected to the world of Klippa, he's worse than the Klippa. Why is he worse than the Klippa? He says like this. Kihi, because the Klippa, the force of Klippa, Einu lebeshes beguf chumri, is not a force which is part of a physical body. Force of Klippa is a sort of a spiritual force, a very diluted force, a force that's not bottled, but it's not like a person that's completely separate from Hashem, right? And v'yoyda ses riboyna, it recognizes the existence of Hashem. V'eina moyredes boy, it doesn't rebel against Hashem. Lifel pu'ulosa, to do something, b'mishlachas malachi roim shabo, sending out its negative messengers, Shaloi bishlichusay shomokim baruchu, without Hashem shlichus. Chas v'shal. Kamaimer. Like the famous saying with Bilam, what did Bilam say? Bilam was a prototype of Klippa. Bilam was like a symbol of Klippa. Right? He was in the world to do bad. That's what he was, right? And nevertheless, when they came to look for him, right? You know the story of Bilam, right? The Melech of Moav sent messengers to find Bilam to bring him back so he can curse the Jewish people. And he resisted. Why did he resist it? Because he said, Bilam said, "La'uchal lavris pi Hashem." I can't do anything against Hashem, ultimately. I know I'm in the hands of Hashem. I was a cold clipper, because he didn't feel himself bottled to Hashem. He was a Messias. He wanted to do something bad. But he realized Hashem is the boss. Right? V'afshe nikra avodah zarah. And even if, though he's called avodah zarah, right? He still calls Hashem the God of gods. He's the God's ultimate boss. Even the forces of Klippa, the pure forces of Klippa, are not able to transgress the will of Hashem. Ki yodim, because they know, umasigim, and they understand, shehu chayusom v'kiyumom, right? That Hashem is their life and their sustenance and their existence. Even though they know sheyonkim b'pchinas achurayim v'achurayim shel rotzon elyon baruch hu, like he says before in Tanya, even though they know that, where do they get their life force from? It's from the, you know, we learned before that when a person, in other words, they understand that they're not part of the intrinsic will of Hashem. That's what Hashem really wants, right? So Hashem gives them life like a person gives behind his back. Remember, I explained that whole thing, right? It's like a person does something even though they don't want to do it, but they know that ultimately they have to do it. That's part of the plan, but that's what they really want, right? I think I gave you the analogy of like paying taxes. No one really wants to pay taxes, right? But they have to. So that's how it works, right? So in other words, a person paying taxes would be like this concept of achurai, like I don't want to do it. Giving something to your family, that's what I really want to do, right? It's a different, I'm paying $100, but the, it's a different kind of, right? So we learned that the klipa, number one, it's diluted, number one, it's not given in an internal way, in a pneumistic way, it's given like Hashem throws behind the shoulder. And also it's not internalized, it's makif, it's like surrounds, encompasses, right? It's not actually part of the klipa itself. And the klipa understands that. And therefore the klipa feels itself to be a very separate entity and feels itself to be separate from Hashem, which is why it's called Avodah Zarah. But at the same time, it's an Avodah Zarah that recognizes the control of Hashem, right? He says, Ratzon Elyon Baruch Hu makif alehem, and we know Eli Shini Kosim V'chayushim B'Soichem, it knows that the life force that Hashem gives you is golus b'seichem. It's like golus, like remember we learned, it's like the spark of God is like golus in the klipa. Yeah. That's still called the denying Hashem. But it's not mamush denying Hashem because they recognize Hashem's sovereignty and they would never do anything against Hashem. But still called Avodah Zarah because of the feeling of separateness from the oneness of Hashem, right? Avo mikol mokar, nevertheless, einon koifrim v'koch shuv Hashem l'gagamri, they don't deny Hashem's existence completely. V'loimar to say, loyhu, doesn't exist. Ela, the koru lo, l'kod l'kai, they call him the God of Gods. Right? Therefore, they never really transgress Hashem's will. So that's the clip. How about the person? So when a person does an Aveira, they are denying Hashem's existence. Hasod. We're not talking about a Yid, always believes in Hashem, right? But when a person does an Aveira at the end of the day, what's he saying? He's saying that Hashem has a will, Hashem has a rotzen, but I can control that. I can go against that rotzen. At the time when a person goes against Hashem's rotzen, right? You know, like this, when we talk about denying the oneness of Hashem, there's different levels, right? In other words, one level is like a level of klipa. The klipa sees itself as an entity that exists, a separate entity from Hashem. But ultimately knows that Hashem is ultimately in charge and therefore can't really do anything against the will of Hashem. But the fact that the klipa feels itself something separate, that's klipa, that's Avodah Zarah. That's one level of denying the oneness of Hashem. Hashem Echad means that everything is part of the oneness of Hashem. Anytime you see, that's what I think I explained to you at the beginning of Tanya, right? The beginning of Tanya, it talks about the Nefesh HaBamis, the God, the animal soul. And it says, when it talks about the animal soul, it says that, because it talks about the two souls there. And it says, the one soul, talk about the animal soul, comes to the world of klipa. We ask the question, what do you mean? It didn't do anything wrong yet. That's not the point. The point is, as soon as it's created and it feels itself a metzius, it's something. As soon as you're something, that's already what you deserve. I think I told you this story once, that there was a chassid, in Chassidus Chabad, the concept of a yesh, just existing, is like a terrible thing, right? So two stories. One story is the famous story about someone that came from the Mizritcha Magid. There was a great Rebbe that he learned by Richard Magid, I don't know who it is. And when Tom came for him to leave, he went to Richard Magid, and he said goodbye. And he said, can you do me a favor? You're going through the town of Kalin. Why don't you stop at Kalin and give my regards? So he did. He arrived there in the middle of the night. It was a cold winter night. And he realized where the Kalin Rebbe was living because he saw light in the window that he was obviously still learning Torah. And he went and knocked on the door. And he heard Rav Aaron of Kalina's voice. Says, very thus, who is it? And he said, if it's me. He was a friend of his. He knew him very well. Says, me. And he didn't answer the door. And he went up a few times. He couldn't understand how come he's leaving me there cold and so. Eventually he says, who is it? What's your name? So he tells him his name. So he got up and he opened the door. So he saw, he was surprised. He didn't mean whatever. So he told him he's coming from the Maggid. He's finished learning there. And he's got regards to the Maggid. So he said, Rav Aaron Kalina told him, I think you haven't learned anything about the Maggid. Because when I asked you who's there, you said, if, me. That's it. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But as soon as you say the word if, in other words, you're referring to yourself as something that exists, that's already clipper. Right? I mean, that's a tough call, but that's the perspective of Hasidus. That's why the idea of yeshus, the idea of arrogance or existing was just a terrible thing, right? I told you once there was a Hasid who lost a relative, and he wanted to learn Mishnayos. This idea, you learn Mishnayos, what do? You learn Mishnayos, that you learn a perek, a chapter of Mishnayos that begins with the same letter as the person's name, right? So if a person, let's say his name is Moshe or whatever, right? You learn a perek Mishnayos that begins with Mem, a perek Mishnayos begins with Shin, and Hey, and so on. So there was a chassid that decided he wants to learn Tanya like that. He wants to learn Prakam of Tanya corresponding to the name. Tanya is not as big as Mishnah, so. See, he did a research. The name had the word Yud. One of the letters was Yud. There's no perek of Tanya that starts with the letter Yud. So what's he going to do? So I don't know which perek it is. He decided that there is a perek that begins with the Yud. It starts with the word Vayesh. That Al-Treba says there is something that, I've forgotten exactly which perek it is. So someone asked him, it doesn't start with the Yud, it starts with the Vav. Right? So he says, no. Actually, this perek was supposed to start with the Yud. But Alter Rebbe didn't want to start a chapter of Tanya with the word Yesh. Yesh is a terrible word. It means you exist. Right? So we are saying a similar thing. The Klipah, right? The Klipah, the forces of Klipah, Bilam even, he didn't rebel against Hashem. He only did what Hashem wanted him to do at the end of the day. Maybe not in his private life, but in terms of his role, in terms of the Klipah in him, what he was supposed to do as a Klipah, he only did what Hashem wants because he recognized the sovereignty of Hashem. But it's still considered denying the existence of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, because he felt that he exists as a separate entity who is also following Hashem's orders. But it's not part of the oneness of Hashem, he's someone else, something else, following the orders of Hashem, right? Now come to a Yid, but a Yid who does an Aveir Chas V'Sholem, that Yid is choosing to go against Hashem's existence. Worse, that's a worse denial of Hashem's oneness. Meaning, and he, even though the Klipah recognizes Hashem's oneness in a very diluted way, but at least understands enough for that oneness of Hashem the oneness of Hashem to dictate his life. A person that's an Aveir is making a choice that the oneness of Hashem doesn't need to dictate my life at all. I can go against Hashem's Ratzon. That's a deeper denial of Hashem's oneness, right? That's why he says, Vimkein ha'adam, the person. Ha'oiver al ratzoino yisbarach, a person who transgresses the ratzon of Hashem. Hu garua upochus har beimoid, is much worse. Ve'asitra achre ve'haklipe. Worse than the sitra achre and the klipe. Hanikras avoidu zor velkim acherim. And therefore that person is v'hu betachli sapir. The person that's not very, is completely separate. Mi'yichudoi ve'achudusei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the oneness of Hashem. Yoyser menu worse than the Klipa. Ukeilu koifer ba'achdusa yisbarach yoyser menu chas v'shalom. It's like it's denying the oneness of Hashem more than the Klipa itself. Yeah. Now, just to point out like this, I mean, this means when a person has an avera, it's pretty bad, right? I mean, this is what, it's like a avera zorah. You're going against the will of Hashem, you're going against the oneness of Hashem. So, like everything, one has to know how to learn this, right? First of all, we learn something like this in Tanya. It's not something you're supposed to think about another person that's not very. something we're supposed to apply to ourselves, not to other people. Other people, we have to say that they don't know better, right? Because this is talking about a person who intentionally transgresses the will of Hashem. Yeah, part of a person is a tinuch shenishpa. He grew up in an environment he was never taught, or never taught the seriousness of that, whatever the case is, right? So we judge favorably. We don't say that every year that doesn't have Aveira is completely distant from the oneness of Hashem, because maybe they don't know better. Maybe not intentionally going. Okay, they're not doing anything kedusha. They're not maybe completely connected to the oneness of Hashem if they don't do the mitzvah. That's why it's so important to get people to do mitzvahs. But you can't say they're completely disconnected from the oneness of Hashem because they don't know better, right? They believe in Hashem, but they don't know. They don't know anything better. Okay. Point of this is more to apply to ourselves and not to other people, right? And even with regard to ourselves, we need to know that yes, it's true that while this is true, and this is this whole point here that he's leading to, right? That every mitzvah is a kiddush Hashem, and every aver is avodah zarah, right? But nevertheless, even a person engaged in avodah zarah, a real avodah zarah, but Hashem always looks at the person. There's always hope because the neshama remains pure. Neshama is never the essence of the neshama is never contaminated, right? That's why Hashem always welcomes back, even some, you know. I saw a video once, someone come to the Rebbe, who was a Yid, but he became a priest. He was a Meshuvah, he converted. And then, after many years, he's a Teshuva. And he came, he saw this all nothing, and he came back to Torah Mitzvahs. And someone brought him by the Rebbe, introduced him to the Rebbe. And the first thing the Rebbe said was, you have to forget about everything that happened till now and just serve Hashem. Which is quite an amazing statement. In other words, first of all, it's an important idea that the Rebbe is saying, you mustn't get defined, you mustn't get clogged up by the what happened yesterday. I mean, but it's an amazing thing. You're talking about someone who mamish, not just the Naveri, but he was mamish serving over the Zara for how many, I don't know how many years, right? Okay, but then that is neshama was never contaminated, the essence of the neshama. But consciously he was disconnected from Hashem in a very deep way. And that's why it's the tshuva and all that, but it has to be forward thinking, not to be, okay. So I want to share with you an idea that I heard in a shiur on this perek from Rabbi Yolkan, and explain something like this. It's based on the sif of the Rebbe, which is interesting, right? So, that we see here there's three levels, basically, right? There's the lowest level is a Yid who intentionally doesn't have Aveira, which means he's going against the oneness of Hashem. There's the Klipah, which is disconnected from Hashem, but not completely. They still recognize the sovereignty of Hashem. And then there's a Yid who does a mitzvah. That's not just not disconnected, but is in one with Hashem, right? So explain these three levels in a way to understand how it works in serving Hashem. And it's based on a story that was told by the previous Rebbe, that he heard from his grandmother, Rebbe Tzarevka. It happened with his grandmother, sorry. So, just to, you should understand the context of the story. The Tzemach Tzedek was the third Chabad Rebbe, and his son, the youngest son, the Marash, married a woman called Rebbe Tzarevka. She was a very, very big tzaddikus. And had many a big depth, and she was very very big Yirah Shemayim, and a very special woman. So one time it happened that she became ill. She became ill, and the doctors told her that she has to eat in the morning. Breakfast, she has to eat properly in the morning. It's very important, she gets up, she should eat. The problem was, she was very, very committed to Shulchan Aruch and very frum. So she didn't want to eat before davening, right? So Tzemach Tzedek called her and said, you're doing the wrong thing. You have to eat, you have to take care of yourself, you have to eat before davening. And then Tzemach Tzedek said a line like this, Besser to essen salib davenin, it's better to eat in order to daven than to daven in order to eat. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're very hungry, and you have to eat medically, but you don't want to eat before davening. So what do? You daven quick, but you daven, you always be able to eat. Whereas if you daven before, you daven, if you eat before, you'll be able to eat in order to daven. So it's better to daven, it's better to eat in order to daven than to daven in order to eat. Okay. So the Rebbe once explained the whole sifra. Let me do this prayer Tanya, but he explained the whole sifra about the depth of the story. In other words, the answer of Tzemach Tzedek on one level was just a very, very simple answer. He's saying just it's a nice thing, a nice perspective. Better to daven, right? Better to eat in order to daven than to daven in order to eat, right? In other words, rather than thinking the whole time you're davening, when's going to come a time I can eat? So eat, and then you're thinking, but you're eating, you're going to daven, right? It's a much better perspective. But the Rebbe gave a whole depth to this whole thing, and he said, fellow, very beautiful idea. He said, a person's life is divided into two parts, Ruchnis and Gashmis. Right? There's a spiritual part of our life, and there's the Gashmis taking part of our life. So the spiritual part of our life is, I don't know, is davening, learning, Fabringer, I don't know, whatever it is, it's when you're immersed in Ruchnis. What's the, right? So davening, it doesn't only mean davening. Davening is a representation of everything got to do with Ruchnis in the person, right? Okay. Eating is not just eating. Eating represents the other part of the person's experience, which is the Gashmistic experience. It could be business, it could be eating, it could be, I don't know, whatever it is, doing exercise, whatever it is. But it's all physical, the physical part of a person's life. Now, there can be three things that can happen. In other words, a person can serve Hashem in three ways. One way is that the davening and the eating, which means the ruchnis and the gashmis, have no connection with each other. I'll explain what that means in a minute. The second could be that they have what to do with each other, but it's davening in order to eat. The third way is, a deeper way is eating to what eat. So let's explain. The first madrega is when a person's davening and eating, in other words, ruchnis and gashmis, have no connection whatsoever. So for example, a person can learn and daven, right? Learns about Hashem, understands about Hashem, bittul to Hashem, etc., etc. And that's it. Then he closes the sefer, he closes the siddur, and he goes into the day, right? And as he goes into the day, let's say that's business, for example, right? Suddenly he does a good deal, or he does a project that's very successful. And he thinks to himself, yeah, of course I believe in Hashem, but this was me. This is my talent. I'm talented. As the pasuk says, "Koychi v'oitzim yodi osili esachayil azeh." Torah warns about a person saying, if you're successful and you think to yourself, it was my power, it was my actions, it was my skills that got me to this success, right? That's an example of someone, Friedrich Graeber talks about a lot about this in Basilegani. That's an example of someone that really, actually, the davening and the eating have nothing to do with each other, nothing. When he was learning, of course he believes in everything is Hashem, Hashem controls everything, Hashem brings everything. And then suddenly when you're in the world of business, it's all me, right? It's not so far-fetched, this, by the way. There are many people that think like this. Like, right? But it's the lowest madrega. It means that then you're not connecting to your world of davening and learning at all. Because if you connect, you know, that's not true. Hashem wants everything to, you know. Hashem runs everything. Everything's Hashem. You're just the keli. You're just the vessel. Right? Okay. The second person is a connection. She means it's a person that knows that everything he does from Hashem. That's why he listens to Hashem, he does every Torah mitzvahs properly, because everything ultimately comes from Hashem. But he davens in order to eat. What does that mean? What does he really want? He really wants the eating. He wants to enjoy life, he wants gashmias. But he knows that everything comes from Hashem. He doesn't play a role, he knows that. So the davening and the learning is connected. In other words, davening and the eating is connected. When he goes to the world of eating, he knows that everything comes from Hashem. So therefore he has no choice. He has to serve Hashem properly and he has to recognize that his business deals with Hashem and he has to have bitachon and everything like that, right? But where's his starting point? His starting point is the eating. So he davens, he connects to Hashem in order to eat, right? By the way, I was thinking about it when I was hearing this. It's a little bit of a problem. There's a lot of things going around today that people do that is all like segula based, you know, like I'm saying, like you need this, you got 40 days in the coastal place, and you're pranos, oh, what's I've learned many people, you know, I have to learn every day because otherwise that's a kedish my parnasa, right? It's very nice, beautiful. You can even learn Shara B'tochen like this. In other words, you can even be fully believing in Hashem, but really, what's my rutz? My rutz is to have gashmis. I want a nice house, I want a nice car, I want to be successful, I want to enjoy life. But I have to connect to Hashem, so I have to find all ways of zgulus and other, if you're able to do it, not that the bad things, by the way, I'm just saying the good things, but it's all because I want the parnasa, I want the gashmis, right? That's called eating, davening in order to eat. What's the highest madriga? Highest madriga, he says, the Samach Tzedek, you have to eat in order to daven. In other words, like this. Not only does the person believe in Hashem, not only does he know that Hashem controls everything, everything comes from Hashem. But it's more than that. He's so connected to the oneness of Hashem that he doesn't exist altogether. He doesn't have any rust. He doesn't want anything. Only wants one thing, to connect to the reality of Hashem. To him, the world of ruchnis, the world of davening is all that he needs. But what? Hashem says you have to do mitzvahs. That's what Hashem wants. And Hashem wants you to bring Hashem into the eating. Hashem wants you to bring Hashem into the world. So he eats. Why does he eat? Not because he wants to eat. Again, eating is a symbol of every gashmis thing, right? Why does he engage in gashmis? Why does he engage in the physical world? Because in order to daven, in order to connect to Hashem. He eats the right intention because he wants to connect to Hashem. It's part of the avodah, serving Hashem properly. Yeah, you see? It's a beautiful idea. That's the talk of the Rebbe, that's the basic idea. So Rabbi Yoel said, he connects it to what it says in Tanya. These are the three levels in Tanya. When a person does an Aveira, it's worse than Klippa. Why? Because it means, yeah, of course he believes in Hashem, but the world of davening and the world of eating has no connection. The fact that he can go against the Ratzin of Hashem, that he can actually transgress Hashem's will, even worse than Bilam in a way, right? It means because his belief in Hashem is completely theoretical. It only exists in the world of ruchnis. It only exists in the world of davening. But on the ground, it doesn't exist. There's no connection. There's no connection between the davening and the eating. So therefore, he can daven. He can daven, it's true, all good. But when it comes to eating, there's no connection. He can do his own thing. He can even go against Hashem's will. That's the lowest level. That's a person that's not there. The second level is the klippa itself. The klippa itself is like, there is a connection, but he davens in order to eat. In other words, the klippa is the person or the forced idea that of course I know Hashem controls everything, and therefore I can't go against the Ratzon of Hashem. But the starting point is me. That's klippa, that's Bilam. Bilam was a klippa, it was him, his ego, his arrogance. That's the starting point. But I can't do anything against Hashem's wishes. So okay, so I'll do everything I need to do. But what's my goal? My goal is me. My goal is gashmis. Understand? That's what I mean before I said the over-obsession with zgulis. After a while, zgulis on the one hand is a very nice thing. He doesn't say it's real, but I'm adding it. Right? Zgulis on the one hand is a very nice thing, but sometimes it becomes such an obsession that means it's all about me. It's about what I want, it's my success. I want to have pranasa, so that's why I don't know, I'll do this, I'll do that. I run to the coast, I run to a cave or whatever, right? It's all because I need brachas. Why need brachas? Because I want to enjoy life, that's why. Right? Because you want brachas, it's a good thing. But he's davening in order to eat. The highest level is the yid engaged in Torah mitzvahs. What's that? The yid engaged in Torah mitzvahs, the yid, he just wants one thing, to be connected to Hashem, to connect to the oneness of Hashem. Is that? It's not relevant what he wants or he doesn't want. It's not about him. It's not about us. It's about what Hashem wants. And that's why the priority, the focus, the goal is not Gashmias, it's not the world of Gashmias. It's the world of Torah Mitzvahs. That's what a Yid should be. He's got to engage in Gashmias also. That's what Hashem wants. So he eats in order to daven. Understand? I'll just connect this a little bit. We'll stop there. I just want to connect a little bit to the idea of Lag BaOmer. Right? Coming up Friday is Lag BaOmer. It's a very important day, especially Chassidim by Chassidim. Hasidim look at Lag BaOmer as the beginning of the revolution of the revelation of the inner parts of Torah, right? Rashbi was the first one to start revealing the Pnimiyas HaTorah, the essence of Torah, the deeper part of Torah, right? So it says the Mittler brings down that the Lag BaOmer is hinted in the Torah. Where's the hint in the Torah? It's in the Torah like this, that it says by Lavan, when Yaakov ran away from Lavan, and then Lavan Chaptari ran away from him. You know, about the story of Rachel and Leah. So Lavan ran to catch him, and then they built a covenant. They built this pile of stones, right? Called Galaid. This was Gal is 33. So Mittler said, that's the hint for Lag BaOmer in the Torah. What's the idea? That is like this. When they built this Galaid, when they built this monument, it says it was supposed to be a separation between the two sides, side of Lavan and the side of Yaakov. And they weren't supposed to cross it. But it wasn't a proper mechitza. It was a pile of stones. It was a pile of stones that could be broken. It could be penetrated. So Rashi says over there, that to harm me, you can't come over, but you need to know it's separate, but you can come over for business, like prakamati, right? So the Rebbe explains, this is the idea of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is like this. Lag BaOmer is the yahrzeit of the Rashbi, Hilul of the Rashbi. I was just at the Rashbi a few days ago. We stopped with Dav Milcha there. I thought it was very cool that it was the month of Iyar a few days before Lag BaOmer. It was beautiful just to... We were up north and we coming back, so we detoured to Dav Milcha. It just wasn't far from... So, what's the Rashbi? The Rashbi is the revelation of something. So Hashem created two parts of the Torah. The Pnimis of Torah, the esoterics of Torah, and the revealed part of Torah. Which is the basis of the whole separation between Ruchnis and Gashmis, right? Between Shabbos and the weekdays. There's a mechitza. The mechitza is there for a reason, because one has to know what is higher and what is lower. You can't just mishmash them together. But the ultimate purpose is for the mechitza to be broken. And to bring the Pnimiyas HaTorah, to bring the essence of Torah into the revealed part of Torah, or to bring the essence of Ruchnis into the Gashmistical world, right? But it's knowing what's more important. In other words, you first have to know, it's like I once explained to you with regard to Shabbos. We make Avdolah on Shabbos, right? A Motzei Shabbos, I mean. What's the point of Avdolah? Not to separate the Shabbos from the week. The point of Avdolah is to bring Shabbos into the week. But how do you do that? You do that by creating a separation first. This is the world of holiness. This is the world of unholiness. Or in Torah, this is the world of esoterics, this is the world of revealed part of Torah, whatever it is. When I know that, then I know what's the tachlis. Tachlis is then to bring the world of ruchnis, or the world of pnimis of Torah, into the revealed part of Torah. To reveal the Shabbos into the week. But in order to do that, I've got to know what Shabbos is. The Shabbos is the holy part. That's the focus, that's the goal. And therefore, everything I do during the week is to connect to that goal. And that's how we create the fusion. And that's the idea of Rashbi also. He started to reveal the Pnimiyas HaTorah. In other words, there is a mechitza. It took time, because there is a mechitza. One has to know what is the Pnimiyas and what is the internal, what is the external. But the idea is to everything to connect back to the internal afterwards, to break that mechitza. That's the, in other words, same thing with davening and eating. You know what davening is, what eating is, but the point is that the eating is because of the davening. And to connect everything back to the world of davening. All right, we'll stop there. We'll continue on this parak next week. We're going to get very soon to the end of parak Chof Hei, and then we're going to start a whole new section of Tanya, which is the most beautiful section from parak Chof Vav onwards. All right. It's all working towards. That's what it is.
And this table I use, Rebbe.